Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so this morning I want to continue with to Av and to Old. We've been looking at marital relationships. 1 Peter and chapter 2. And if you follow this teaching, you will notice really we're teaching the Christian conduct. Basically, that's what we're teaching. But we are applying it to the marital institution. Because we know we don't have any other life outside of the life of God. And so we're looking at God's word afresh, allowing it to renew our minds with respect to who we are, what conduct is expected of us with respect to the marital institution. The word of God is not written to the married alone. It's written to saints who eventually get married and to those who remain unmarried by reason of choice, because marriage is not commanded in the scriptures. It's not a compulsory thing. But if you choose to get married, there are instructions that are written. And if you are going to get married, there are instructions that are written. Funny enough, the instructions are almost the same, with the exception of when you get to the married state. But before you get married, the instruction I'm meant to follow is the instruction you are meant to follow, and it has to do with your conduct as a believer. Now, look at 1 Peter in chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 1. Peter says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes." Now, you are not a newborn babe. So he's using a figure of speech as newborn babes, as somebody who is starting a different kind of journey. That means you were born from the flesh into the spirit. So there's a new place you dwell now. You are now in the spirit. You are in what Christ has accomplished. So as a newborn babe. So the same way a babe doesn't have a full understanding of his environment yet. A babe's mind is new. A babe's mind is ready to be impressed and to be inspired. A baby's mind is ready to be cultivated. It says, in that same manner, that should be your approach to God's word. In other words, it says, have an innocent attitude towards the word of God. Don't have an argument against it. Have an innocent attitude towards God's word. And it says, as newborn babes, you know, wherefore laying aside. And that's interesting because, again, if you follow the series of teachings, you will notice that, look at the previous verse. Look at verse 23 of chapter 1. Verse 23 of chapter 1, see what it says. It says, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and what? Abided forever. Now, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So he's talking to those who are saved. He's talking to believers. Being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible. So he says, remember your origin, your source. You are born of the spirit now. There's a nature inside you that never fails. It's incorruptible, untouched, so to speak, by the conditions of the earth. Now he says in verse chapter 2 now, wherefore, laying aside. It's interesting, he's writing to believers. So Peter knows believers can have hypocrisy. Believers can have malice. He knows. He says, among believers, there are envies among believers. He says, that's not the issue. The issue is what you do with it. He says, lay it aside. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and abuse and all even as newborn babes. So he's talking about your approach to God's word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere meat of the word that you may grow in that line. Which line? Out of the incorruptible seed of God's word. This is Peter's language. And I tried to explain towards the other last week that Peter's language is even from Paul's language. James' language is even from John's language, but they are all saying the same thing. The reason why they use different language is the writer has his own slant. He has his own words and his own vocabulary. And if you put them together, you will see they are all saying the same thing. So James says there's an approach you should have towards God's word. That means don't have an argument in your mind against God's word. Being like a baby who opens his mouth, ready to receive whatever the mother puts inside the mouth. In this case, your mother is the spirit. So the teaching of God's word with respect to what is contrary to hypocrisy, what is contrary to envy, what is contrary to malice, that's the word of God. It says is the sincere milk. That is unadulterated milk of God's word. That is how you will grow along the line of which you are born. So there's growth that originates from the word of God, and there's growth that originates from the world. So he's only drawing a parallel between the two. See what it says in the next verse. It says in verse 3, if so be, the word if there is better translated since, because it's not a condition, it's a reality. It says, since you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's salvation. To trace of the grace of God means you are saved. Hallelujah. Again, you know the word, this is a figure of speech. That means you have experienced God's graciousness in salvation. He says, to whom coming, that is, this is how you came. It's not talking about the way you come, it's talking about how you came. How were you saved? To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also. Say, I also am a living stone. I'm chosen of God, I'm precious. Say, I'm chosen of God, I'm precious. Now, what were you choosing to do? Join with me. I don't want to do verse by verse. So join with me to verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's, you're a minister. It says, an holy nation. That is, a nation with a specific purpose. The word holy means set aside for a particular purpose. You are a holy nation. It says, you are a peculiar people. There's something that marks you out. Let me start again. You are a chosen generation. Where you originate from is different from every other generation. So there's something that makes you distinct. You are chosen. You came on the scene according to God's predestination in Christ Jesus. You are chosen. Always keep that in your consciousness. What is it describing? The sincere meek of God's word. Hallelujah. This is the sincere meek of God's word. You are, not you are going to be. You are a chosen generation. It says you are a royal priesthood, so you are a minister. It says you are an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should. So this is what you were configured to do. You should show forth. You should demonstrate. You should manifest. That a particular conduct should be found in you at all times. That you should show forth the praises of him. That's King James. A better word is the virtue, the character, the nature of him. Who called you out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. It's not interesting again that he's telling those who are in the light not to do things that have to do with darkness. In the light, there's no malice. In the light, there's no envy. In the light, there's no hypocrisy. So he's teaching. Now, how will he stop them? Or how does a man lay aside envy and evil speaking? How does he lay aside malice and hypocrisy? It's the teaching of God's word. So Peter, progressively, what is the sincere meek? What does he communicate to you? You are a chosen generation. You're a royal priest. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. You were designed to show forth. So it means in your day-to-day activity among saints, there is a teaching going on through your conduct. You know, it's interesting. When you see a mature believer, whether married or unmarried, when you see the conduct of that believer, and the believer is walking the Spirit, or according to Peter, is walking the sincere meek of God's word, you will learn from that person's conduct. Now, a lot of times, you feel the person is, permit to use this word, or swegbe. Somebody you can take advantage of. But you are the one who is missing it. Because you are the one who is not growing. So when a believer takes a highway of love in his dealings or at dealings with you, the believer is growing. You are not growing. Because you feel you cheated the person, but you are being cheated of your own inheritance that belongs to both of you. The believer is walking the light. The believer is using every opportunity to grow by practicing God's word in their dealings with one another. So that believer is growing, is profiting from the word of God. The believer's faith is working. His love work is sound. You are not doing the same. You are in the flesh, even though you are born of the Spirit. So you think that the person is, you know, doesn't know what they are doing. The person is weak or soft. No. There is strength in acting on God's word. Hallelujah. There is strength. God's word is supernatural strength. So he says, the praises of him, that's the virtues of him, who called you out of darkness, you are now in his marvelous light. Glory to God. So the character of God, the praise of God, are to be seen in the conduct of the believer. That's why the way the epistles are written, you are first told of the conduct of God already resident in you, then you are asked to walk according to that conduct. Not the other way around. So the word of God never places a demand on you that he has not already put inside of you. James, look at James. James says the same thing, using a different vocabulary or set of words. Verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. Look at James' words. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man. So every man here is every single believer. The previous verse actually says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So he's talking about those who are begotten by the word of God. How does Peter put it? Being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible. Of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. How does Peter say, how does James say it? James says, of his own will, he brought us forth, or he gave us back by the word of truth. He now says, for this reason, my beloved, let every man be swift to what? Hear. Be slow to speak, and be slow to run. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart. Or what? Filthiness and abundance of naughtiness. And receive with meekness. Do they sound like the same? So Peter uses sincere milk. James says, the engrafted word of God. This is the same nature that was implanted within you. The word of God will mirror it back to you. The same nature that is implanted within you, the word of God will mirror it back to you. The same nature implanted within you and in you by the word of God will mirror it back to you. And he's about to use that phrase now. So James says, receive with meekness. Peter says, as sincere, or as dear children, sincere make of God's word. Be like children, innocent in your approach. Sincerity, the sincere make of God's word, this is how you should approach the word of God. James says, with meekness, receiving the engrafted word. See what it says next. But be ye doers. So what does it mean to receive with meekness? Be a doer. So let me say it this way. It does not matter the experiences you've had. Now I'm speaking to both married and unmarried. It doesn't matter the experience you have had in relationships or marriage, as the case may be. What matters is that when the word of God is taught, there's a slant and attitude you ought to have. You cannot say, I've been married for 25 years. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only God is the same yesterday. And the reason why God is the same yesterday, today, forever is because God has always been love. He is good. He will always be good. He will forever be good. So it's okay for God to be that way. You are yet to be that way. So don't resist God's word. If there is a way you've been living your life as a saint in relationships that have to be the opposite sex, that is not in line with the word of God, before you get married, this is the time to change it. If there's a way you've been living together as husband and wife that's not consistent, maybe based on traditional values, this is the time to change. He said, be ye doers. What does it mean to be a doer? It means to receive with meekness. So a man that is doing is practicing meekness. A man that is acting on God's word is actually practicing what? Meekness. How do you know a proud man? A man who pushes God's word aside and says, I will have my way, I will do what I want to do. That's a proud man. A proud man is not the one who walks with his shoulders like this. That's a posture problem. Amen. It's a posture problem. A proud man is the one who discards. Now, after viewing God's word, this is God's mind. This is how you ought to treat one another and discuss what he has seen. See what you see what James says. Say, be ye doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. Doing what? Deceiving your own selves. The word deceiving is interesting. In the Greek, it means to be beside yourself, to act contrary to your nature. It says, because you heard, you didn't do, you will act contrary. So you heard, but you didn't do. So you heard for hearing's sake. Because there's no meekness in reception, you will act based on your own ideas and not based on the truth of God's word. So it's a conscious effort. When it says receive with meekness, it's a conscious effort. It's not something you do casually. You do deliberately. It's part of your submission to God. So it says receive with meekness. How do you do that? Be a doer of the word. Why are you a doer? You were born. Of his own will, he gave you birth by the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The love of God for you and I in Christ Jesus. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. With whom there is no variableness in that what? Shadow of turning. That means God is a one-way God. A believer should be one-way also in conduct. Because you are like your Father. Hallelujah. But how do you get to that place? Are you that way naturally or by nature? Yes. Are you that way in your mind? Not necessarily. So he's giving us instructions concerning Christian conduct. So you can hear the word, but hearing the word does not translate to doing the word. But hearing the word is a step to doing the word. So you're hearing the word, then it's meant to bear fruit in your actions on a daily basis. It says deceiving your own self. So notice, if you do the word or you act like you're doing the word, when people are around, you're still deceiving your own self. Because eventually, you will act out what you focus on a consistent basis. See what it says. It says, be a doer of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. Next verse. For if any be a hearer of the word and not what? A doer. He is like unto a man, figure of speech, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's Genesis. It looks as his Genesis, his origin. This is who I am. This is what God made me to be. I'm a love being. I'm born of a love God. My Father is love, and his love is in my heart. There is a response of my inside in every situation. I know how to answer every man according to the wisdom of God. That's what you saw in the mirror. Then you go out to practice. You are a doer. But notice what it says. If a man is not a doer, but a hearer, is like a man who looks at the mirror, and the minute he turns away, he neglects what he saw in the mirror. The word forget there means to neglect. It doesn't mean yes, memory loss. It means you neglected what you saw in the mirror. It says you are deceiving yourself. So Peter and James are saying the same thing in a different way. Let's go to Paul. Paul's epistles, Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The word there means innocent. Loving children who love their parents unconditionally. It says, be ye therefore followers of God. The word is imitators. You copy what you see. Where do you see what to copy? In the word of God. So it says, be ye followers of God as dear children. You notice the word therefore is included. That means there's a previous thought. We'll get there. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. How do I follow God? How do I copy God? How do I copy God? I walk in love. Now, let me say something before I go on. You will never find anywhere in the epistles where we're told to love God. You can search. I give you a week to search. You won't find any epistle where the believer is told to love God. You won't find any. You will only find believers told to walk in love towards one another. The instruction in the epistles is that God has loved you. Since God has loved you and God lives on your inside, let God love through you. So to say I love God is not in saying, it's in an action. The action is that you show you love God by loving the brethren. Let me say it again. You will never find anywhere where it is written that we should love God. No. We're not to love him. He first what? Loved us. So whatever love we have for God is a reciprocating love. It's reciprocal. You are not the originator of that love. Remember that scripture in Revelation that says that you have forsaken your first love. How many of you know that scripture? Forsaking your first love. Okay. No. Mark in those days would think that he was talking about, your first love was evangelism. See how you have stopped evangelizing. But the one first love there actually means the love that the Father has for you, you have forgotten it. And that is the root of all the challenges you are facing. As he says, you are forsaking your first love. It means the love that the Father has for you, you forgot it. You set it aside. You didn't focus on it. And it's the genesis of all the wrong conduct that we're seeing in that church. That's what he's saying. He's not talking about the fact that you're no longer, if you are no longer evangelizing or praying, it's still, that's still the root of the issue. You've forgotten the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, where we are called what? The sons of God. That's your first love. So you won't find anywhere there. So when it says, and walk in love, who is the example? The Father. Who is the originator? The Father. Be ye therefore imitators. So the Father has set a standard. The standard he has set, he gave it to you as a standard to follow. He gave you the nature that makes that standard a reality. Be ye therefore imitators. That means follow this standard, this pattern. Act exactly this way. And the love we're instructed to love is an act. It's not just words. Yeah, there are words involved, but it's majorly an act. See what it says again. See what it says. It says, and walk in love as Christ also. Always gives you a standard. As Christ has also one, loved us and what? Has given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice unto God for a sweet smelling word. Sabbath. Glory to God. See, I give myself to the brethren. I give myself to the saints. So let me say it again. In making a choice of a marital partner, always consider someone who is committed to local assembly and is serving there. Always consider it before you lose your head. Let me say it again. Before you lose your head means before you get carried away to emotions, always consider, make it a priority in your life. Someone says why? You will need it along the way. It will be easier in the marital institution when the person you're married to is already a practitioner of God's word. You can find a wife anywhere. You can find a husband anywhere. But the choice is yours. Listen carefully. Romantic love does not last. Amen. You know what people saying? I suffered heartbreak. That's why there was heartbreak. It's because it was solely based on feelings that are fleeting. No commitment. That's where the issue really is. Because the romantic love cannot sustain a relationship that will try for years. Romantic love blossoms when what you do is what I do. When you please me, I like you. When you don't please me, romance ends. Have you not noticed? Okay. Is Nollywood an Hollywood? Is it realistic? No. It's like when you see those people singing around trees, and I'm like, is this how people... Have you ever sang around the tree before? No, but did you ever ask me, say, you're singing, and I'm doing it, you're doing like this? Did you ever do that before? Business here. Even when you were singing for your spouse to be there, you were standing one place. When you're hiding behind the tree, behind wall, you have time. That's why it's acting. They are acting. Even the people that are doing it, in real life, they don't do it. So when you follow those kind of things, and the pressure of social media, you're going to have problems. So until it goes on one knee, and there's camera, the moment was captured, you are not convinced that he loves you. Come and see going on one knee, plenty. That was over the month after. So the secret is not going on one knee. Amen. Okay, I'm reading on your parade now. Abby. I'm not saying it should not go on one knee for you. It's okay. Oh. Let him go on one knee. The pastor said that we should not go. Men are here. The pastor said we should not go on one knee. Go on one. If I go on two knees, if necessary. I'm just saying, don't let that be the motivation behind your relationship. A man can do that because that is what is trending. It doesn't mean that is what is consistent with God's word. Say amen. No. You have to be careful that you are not influenced by social media trends over and above the authority of God's word. So the love he's talking about here is a committed kind of love. It's not a love that's based on feelings alone. Feelings are good. Romance is based on your preferences. You have natural preferences. You do. I do. Everybody does. But the believer has something higher than that. And that is the love of God, which has to do with commitment to another, a fellow believer, independent of the way you feel. Without that, the marital institution cannot be survived. So, look at verse 21. It says, giving thanks or submitting yourselves one to what? Another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Who is he speaking to? Look at verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is, and be not drunk with wine, is what excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to let the Spirit have full sway. It means to let the Spirit have control. Now, be filled means it's something you consciously do. Who is the Spirit? The love of God on your inside. Hallelujah. Let me take a step back. But be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk wine when it's excess, or don't allow contaminating influences to dull your perception. But let the Spirit dominate your perception and your impressions and your conduct. It says, be filled with the Spirit. To be filled is a deliberate act of the believer. Be filled. So you can choose to be filled. You can choose not to be filled. It says, be filled with the Spirit. It's a conscious. Why can you be filled with the Spirit? Because you already have the Spirit. So whenever it says, walk in love, be filled with the Spirit, they mean one and the same thing. Let me say it again. To walk in love, to be filled with the Spirit, they mean one and the same thing. You don't walk in love in the Spirit. You walk in love in your mind. Your mind walks in love. Your mind walks in the Spirit because your mind can walk in the flesh. That means the actions we see proceeding from you come from two sources, either the flesh or the Spirit. So when it says be filled with the Spirit, it's like saying don't be dominated by the flesh. That's what he's saying. Why is he saying that? Submitting yourselves one to another. So for me to submit to you means I hold you in high esteem. In Christ Jesus. So I submit to you. In ministering to you, I'm submitting to you. I'm not ministering to you because I'm higher than you. I'm submitting because I'm a minister to you. That's what he's saying. So he's talking to the wife, to the husband, who is a brother and a sister, who has learned to submit to other brothers and sisters in the same local assembly. So they practice submission, which is walking in love. He says, walk in love, even as Christ also has loved us. And the kind of love Christ did was sacrificial kind of love in order to serve us. This is walking love. He now says, submitting yourself. So you are learning to walk in love. He now calls it, be filled with the Spirit. He's saying the same thing. Look at Romans chapter 5. Before you go to Romans chapter 5, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians. See what it says? Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost with you all, what? Amen. The word be is italicized. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God, I mean the communion of the Holy Ghost. That word is better translated, supply. So what is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? It is the love of God for you. The grace, the gift that we find, that God gives to you in Christ, is God's love for you. He says that love is evidenced by the supply of the Spirit. So if I ask you, does God love you? If you consult your feelings, you are wrong. Because the love of Christ for you is not a feeling, it's a reality living inside you now. He says that grace, which is God's free gift in Christ, is actually God's loving demonstration. It is evidenced by the Spirit that now lives on your inside. He's not talking about three different, he's talking about one thing. The grace is the love. The love is the Spirit that has supplied. That Spirit is what gives you fellowship with the Father. So your fellowship with the Father is never predicated on how you feel per time. Whether you feel down or excited, the fellowship is intact because there's a Spirit that connects you with Father. Say amen. Say, I'm one Spirit with the Lord. That's important. So he says, the grace, that is the love. The love is the Spirit on your inside now. The Spirit is what governs your conduct. He says, don't be drunk with wine. So in this quiz now, you can say, to be drunk wine means don't be intoxicated with the perversions of the world. In context now, in the context where, don't be intoxicated with current trends that contradict God's word, but allow the Spirit's conduct to govern your conduct. And it's a conscious effort. It's not something God does for you, it's something you do of yourself because you are submitting to the authority of God's word. Say amen. So wives, submit yourselves to your own husband because you are walking in love. Husbands, love your wives, and in each case, it's an action that you carry out. It's an action you carry out. Colossians, look at Colossians. Paul wrote the letter to the church at Colossae as well, and if you read Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5, it's as though he's talking about the same thing. You can skip a few verses. Colossians chapter 3. I read from verse 16. It says, let. Tell your neighbor, let. Tell your neighbor, allow. Say, receive. With meekness. The same thing. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. Don't repay evil with evil. Amen. Everybody says, yes, yes, yes. Then ask them, did you repay your husband with evil? Did your husband do evil? You say, yes. Did you repay with evil? Did the wife do you wrong? Yes, yes. As far as you can be right. Did you repay? The situation never escalated when the first person acted. It escalated after you acted in kind. In other words, the way to have diffused the situation was you to have acted in line with the Spirit. So my partner acted in the flesh. If we both do flesh, we love the flesh, reap corruption. Okay, yeah. Are you following now? I'm in practical now. But if we both do Spirit, we love the Spirit, reap what? Life what? Everlasting. So you did flesh to remind you of who you are. I did Spirit. So you insulted me. I blessed you. Your blessing doesn't mean, oh, the Father. To bless somebody, it means to speak graciously to the person. That means the way I responded to the way you treated me, I extended grace towards you. Let your words be seasoned with what? Grace. That may minister. That means I decided to speak. You spoke words that didn't minister. I spoke words that what? Minister. Can you see the difference? So you spoke something offensive. I had the opportunity just like you did because you just did that to the flesh. And I can do flesh or spirit. I chose spirit to diffuse the spirit. So I want to overcome evil with good because good is on my inside. Say amen. Say good is on my inside. And Moses says, don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Romans chapter 13. All the letters are saying the same thing using different words. So I can stop the process of the flesh right there and then. I can check it in my response towards you. You did something to offend me. The minute I get into this karma mode, I am going to show you. No, show the nature of Christ in that situation. If you want the trend to stop. Some of the pastor, you don't understand. I will get cheated. She's always doing it. As you are saying that, somebody is also saying he's always doing it. So, whenever you have a partner who is not being filled with the Spirit or who is not yielding to the Spirit, you have a responsibility to stay yielded to the Spirit. The minute you start doing tit for tat, you are in trouble. Your marriage is in trouble. Listen carefully. I have never seen, well, at least in my few years of getting married, I've never seen, even before I got married, any major issue in marital or in marriages that started from anything major. It was from something small. Then it escalated by certain actions done by both parties until there were irreconcilable differences. Hallelujah. Where does the issue open to? Or where are we at? We're in Colossians. Thank you. Thank you. I'm in Corinthians here. So as I'm wondering, Colossians chapter 3. I'll tell you why I said what I said shortly now. I'm pausing to make this as practical as possible because you need to see how to apply. We are living in a real world. We're dealing with men. We're dealing with people that the Bible says lay aside. That means there are believers who have strife, who have envy, who are exercising evil speaking. Some believers, when they speak, you really wonder, you are saved, but your tongue is not. You're like, you can use those kind of words. I've said something that, you know, it's very difficult to shock me now when they say that, because I'm like, the things I've heard. You know, I've used love to seal my heart. And it's now shock proof. That was initial stages. Now, it's okay. Be sanctified in Jesus' name. Because I'm like, how did it come? Even the thought come, you first bind, I bind you. The thought even came, but it came out of your mouth towards the other party, and it started from, and it's never accidental. You must have been doing when you were just a single brother or sister. You must have been doing it. You know, I put up your post on there, I got the love reaction. I said, if he has accidentally slapped you 3 times, you know, 3 times accidental is a mistake. It's just a mistake. It's the devil. The devil that let you and the devil be going. He has accidentally. Why? Someone says, are you meant to forbear? No, you only forbear if you are married. Since you are not yet married, the forbearance is to escape. Since he's not a sealed relationship yet, take the highway. The highway is the expressway. You disappear, you run. Because the accident that can happen 3 times in slapping, it will graduate to boxing with gloves. Hallelujah. Yes, it will graduate. But since you are seeing the symptom now, someone says, when I marry, it will change. You are not the author of spiritual growth. Escape for your life first. You still have a choice. It is those who are married that are meant to stay and forbear. And we'll look at what forbearance is shortly. You are yet to make a choice. So you have the opportunity now. You have the opportunity before you make a choice. You look out for certain traits. You have a high standard concerning who to marry and what you are looking out for. And it's not based on necessarily carnal inclinations. When I say human, I mean natural inclinations. It's based more on fact that because spirituality will endure after carnal things fail. I'm being sincere with you. You can have all the money in the world. You marry a woman who tells you, let us call the magazine instead of praying. Let us pray. We have been praying all this time. That is what your spouse said. You don't have an encourager. So when you say, look for a woman, a man that is at least to a degree, a level of spirituality, it's important because when the rubber meets the road and challenges arise, you need somebody that can be on the same frequency. I sense an urgency to pray. Is that I'm on Instagram? The person is not ready. You're not on the same frequency. I sense an urgency to pray. The person doesn't want to pray. It's like a baggage you are carrying along. And you can sense some of these things before you ever say, yes, I do. You can. You don't sense it by living together. Amen. Say, Christians, believers, saints, don't cohabit before marriage. Amen. Cohabiting is a sin. S-I-N. Sin. Amen. It's wrong. It's never permissible. One of the reasons why it's wrong is because you are sending a very wrong signal to your environment. That's why I asked the question when they said, if we come to your area to evangelize, brother, will you follow us? We are coming to your area. Brother James, we are coming to your area. Are you sure you will not disappear? And say, because no, that when we get to the first shop, brother James, you two, you go to church? okay. Which church is that? When they are saying that, your testimony is not good. Sister Clara, well done, you came like, come, let us gist first. You know that you are not a Christian to that person. As far as conduct is concerned. But then I say, you two, you are preaching. It's a bad testimony. I say, you two, you are preaching. It's a bad testimony. That means in your area, your conduct is unbecoming of a believer. And that's what a lot of people do. There are things we don't do because it sends the wrong signal to the environment and the society we're living in. Because we are choosing what? Generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation, a peculiar people. We should show forth the character, the virtues of the one who has called us. But where do we start showing? Not outside, but within the assembly of the saints. We show it one to another. Glory to God. So see what it says. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Finally, let us read Colossians. Amen. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly in all wisdom. Does that sound like received with meekness? Does that sound like received with meekness? Okay, so let it dwell in you how? Sufficiently, abundantly, in all wisdom. Doing what? Teaching and admonishing one another in what? In psalm, that is, hymns and spiritual song, singing with what? Grace in your hearts. Look at verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed. So, notice, allow the word to dwell until the conduct of the word is seen. Let me say it again. Allow the word to dwell sufficiently until the conduct of the word is seen. And the conduct is seen in word and in actions. So, it is not the singing in church they were fully after. It is what that singing produces. It is that you sang, I'm a new creation. I'm the Father's house. It is how you show you're the Father's house in your normal conversation with us and your conduct that really matters. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know there was a season I taught us about walking in love, and I said, there are sisters that don't greet one another. If you go and greet the person and the person doesn't answer, go and greet again. If the person doesn't answer, look for an elder and go and confront the person yourself. I greeted you, you don't answer. What's the problem? The person doesn't answer you again. Look for a leader in the church. Take that leader to that person. We will not have to discipline such a person because that is grossly flesh. It's so carnal, we don't have words to describe it. Somebody is greeting you, standing in front of you. You greeted the person beside the person, you ignore the person, and ladies do that thing. It's evil. It's so evil, I don't even know what to call it. It has no name in the Bible. Only one. E-V-I-L. Evil. I've seen this thing happen. You can tell the person is deliberately ignoring this person. And the minute you divide, okay, was it? By the time, so what happened? I greeted her the other day, she didn't answer, just one day. Whether she heard or not, you don't care. You shall have greeted. And that's how strife begins to grow casually. Then you now have people that you don't talk to in the same assembly when we are born of the same blood, of the same spirit. And this is practicing ground, though. It's practicing ground. Don't be that sister that we mistakenly boarded the same bus with you. And the kind of insults we're in on the conductor, we didn't know a Christian can say those things. Or the brother that's fighting at the bus stop. Brashola, take it easy. Brashola, it's okay. Brashola, the police have come. Anybody can use influence. You can find yourself. So, Pastor, why do you walk away from conflict? Even driving in Lagos, your mind has to be renewed. How many of you know? I've told you before. When somebody drives off and they do like this, his muscle flex. His muscle spasm. Yes, I don't know. Why are you reacting to that? They say, it cost my... So that's how your mother can be cost. Like this. I don't... You see, some things don't make sense. And you now follow with certain words that the believer should not say. Why should this mean anything to you? You are the one that has muscle pulling your finger. I have been like this, I don't know. I don't know how many times I've been insulted. To answer is to condescend. You don't understand? To answer is to what? Condescend. You came in front of the car. You know, and this is a very dangerous world we're living in. You go and push somebody who is already ready to die. He's already ready at the bus stop. You now helped. And they now forgot that the person slapped you first. They just carry you. That's what I've been. I'm not telling you because I'm perfect. Years ago, it's close to 15 years now. Church members were in the car. A guy came out of a side street. You don't know if you know anything about driving. Somebody drove out of a side street, a bus, on high speed to come and collect my vehicle. It was only inches that I had to swerve it before. And my church members in the car. And I came out of the vehicle. To be angry is an underestimation. Is an understatement. I was livid. I was thinking of what kind of things that happened. I'd already got into the driver's side. Miraculously, my hand was on the driver's neck. It just appeared there. The conductor came, the other hand went for the other person's. So it was when the hand was there that the church said, Pastor, I said, it's true. This is Pastor. I said, meanwhile, the two people involved were wondering the kind of man that would hold our neck like this. Something. Because I used to practice martial arts before. So, my mind already calculated the different moves that would bring them down. Before I was a pastor. They just came in PM news, pastor fighting. In a moment when you yielded to the flesh. It is not what they did, it is what you did in response. That's the issue. Did you respond in the flesh or how? in the spirit. There's nothing you can do now. I just go my way. There's nothing you can do. Because you are not in control of my actions. I am in control of what? My actions. You slap me. You slap me. I don't have to slap you back. I don't have to. I don't have to do it for that. The same thing applies in marriage. You snub me. I don't have to snub you. You insulted me. I don't have to respond with insults. The minute you bring that principle of I do you do, to marriage, you are going to have issues. Because you are not following the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. Let me jump back. Look at verse 13. See what it says. It says, let's read verse 12. Put on therefore as what? I'm the elect of God. I'm holy. I'm beloved. It says, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of what? Mercy. That is abundance of mercy. It put on means in your mind, your consciousness, demonstrate or display mercies. Kindness, humbleness of what? Mind, meekness and long suffering. Look at next verse. Forbearing one another and what? Forgiving one another. You know, it's interesting. How many of you know forgiving and forbearing and present tense continuous? How many of you agree? Present tense continuous. So that means it's not something you do once and for all. What is the difference between forgiveness and forbearance? They're not the same. To forgive you means I forgive you a particular action I did. To forbear means there may be, so to speak, a defect in your personality that makes you repeat a particular conduct, and I'm going to make room for it. Let me say that again. To forgive you means there's a particular action you did towards me that I'm going to let go of. I'm not going to hold you to it. To forbear means I have made room for your weaknesses. It's called forbearance. Hallelujah. It means to put up with. It means I'm cutting you some slack. It means in marriage, you have to learn to cut your partner some slack. You make up your mind. Listen, your wife will offend you. Your husband will offend you. You make up your mind before the offense. When you are eating shawarma and ice cream, amen. When that's happening and everything is like, you know, rosy, everything is going fine. That is the time you make up your mind about what your response will be if situation changes. You just make up your mind. I'm going to forbear. Forbearing and forgiving. That means it's a lifestyle. Because if I forbear and I forgive, there is no way you do things and I'll respond in kind. I'll respond based on what I've already made up my mind to do when it comes to. Hallelujah. You know, to some men, what we hear of when it comes to domestic violence is men beating up women, isn't it? How many of you know women beat up men too? Why don't you hear about it? The society. The society does not encourage a man to speak up. Because the first people will laugh at him. But if they are beating you, they are beating you. And the beating doesn't stop. Come to pastor. We'll pray with you. Counsel the wife if it's possible to rehabilitate her. If it doesn't work, we'll counsel temporary separation until she calms down. Because if they are beating you, sincerely they are beating you. That's what the truth of the matter. You may not want to come out and say it. Because it's not for social media. But what is the issue really? Before things go to that place, words were spoken before actions were taken. It's the words that were spoken is often called a quarrel that led to certain what? Actions. You can cut it off from when words were spoken. Because again, it takes two people to fight, isn't it? You know, I've seen somebody beating themselves on the road before by themselves. No, it takes two. So if you're offensive and I'm not offensive, there is no way your own anger can get to boiling point. You are being offensive. You are doing everything possible to provoke me. I refuse to be what? Provoked. It's not going to go beyond that. But the minute I am provoked because you are trying to provoke me, things are going to go awry very fast. They're going to go down very, very fast. So it's a choice. So listen carefully. It says, look, so forbearing one another and forgiving. If any man have what? A quarrel against any. Do Christians have quarrels? Do husbands and wives quarrel? There's the, we never quarrel. Me and my wife, I confess. It's okay. It's all right. You can quarrel. You can. It's okay. It's a good confession. We have never fought. The past 30 years, we have never fought. It's not true. You didn't escalate it. Not that you didn't fight. When we say fight, that you had a quarrel. What was the quarrel? You disagreed. What was disagreement? You disagreed without being disagreeable. That's the difference. So, if any have quarrel, does Paul know people have quarrel in marriage? Yes. What does he say? He say forgive and what? Forbear. And don't keep bringing up past mistakes. Because obviously you are not forbearing. That's how you did in 1912. That's not what you did in 1912. Yes, and 1977 also. You also did the same thing. You are not forbearing, and neither are you forgiving also. You keep bringing it up. That's what you're doing. Because the memory of it is even hurting you also. And it's provoking the person. It's doing two things. It's hurting you and what? Provoking the person. You see, so forbearing and forgiving, they are not the same thing. To forbear means you cut your partner somewhat slack. How do you know? While you are in courtship now, practice it. If you are still doing, you offended me, I will not speak for 3 days. You are not ready. If you are the man, I will not pick a call. When emergency call comes in, because you have this very terrible attitude, childlike attitude of not picking call when you are angry, the important thing is not pass you by. Because, you know, it's so childish. They are calling and calling you. 15 missed call on your phone. You see, no, I will not pick. Don't go into marriage now. What if there's something urgent that wants to be communicated to you? You don't want to pick. You don't want to pick because you say you are angry. That's foolishness. Is it forgiving a one? Forbearing one another. If any have a quarrel against any, what did he say? Even as Christ what? Forgive you, so also do ye. Say Christ's conduct is on my inside. I manifest the same towards fellow saints. Again, any believer who is walking the conduct of Christ, any mature saint will recommend them for a sound relationship because everybody will see it. If you're walking in the right corner, everybody will see it. Everybody will see it. Go back to verse 18, please. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own one, husbands, as it is proper. It is right in the Lord. Next verse. Husbands, love your wives and be not. You know, it's very interesting the way Paul wrote this. If you're like, no, Paul. Okay, I know your problem. You're not married. You would have said, wives, submit and not be bitter. But it's writing to husbands. What does that mean? It tells you, husbands have a tendency to be what? Bitter. The word hand is not a conjunction, it's an explanation. So it says, how do you show you love your wife? It's by not being bitter. That means opportunities will rise for you to be bitter. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter. That is, don't be bitter. So if you are being bitter, you are not loving. And if you are loving, you are not being bitter. He's not talking about two different things. He's saying, if you are loving your wife, you'll not be bitter. If you are being bitter, you are not loving your wife. And the same goes for the wife too. That's what he's saying. So he's saying, husbands, love your wives. I mean, don't be what? Bitter towards them. So opportunities will rise for you to be bitter. That means some things will be done that you feel like. Now, listen carefully. The bitterness is not introduced by your wife's actions. It was introduced by you because that's your response to the action. Listen carefully. You are the governor of your actions. You can determine how to respond. So when you say things like, it was because of what she said. What she said is what she said. How you responded is how you responded. Glory to God. Say, I have the Spirit of Christ. I have the love of God dwelling in me. Glory to God. So, how you responded is how you what? Responded. So when you say things like, she made me bitter, nobody really has that power. Nobody has power to make you bitter. You have the power to make yourself bitter. It got me angry. Nobody has that power. They can provoke you. You can refuse to be what? Provoked. Somebody says, how? If whatever you say, I ensure it doesn't count where my heart is concerned. It's a choice. It's a choice. If a guy comes around you using sweet words, ladies, you are here. Are you not the one that determines which one you will listen to, which one you will listen to? That means you have a choice. So say, the way he was talking, I was just carried away. Where were you carried away to? You chose who carried you away. Where if it was really away, you chose which either. That means there are some people, they can speak sweet from nothing tomorrow. Yeah, this is not true. Your mind will never go there. You are just saying, like someone said, you have the words, but you don't have the spirit. So you don't say the words. It's not just words. You need a choice. I can't see this person in this light. And that's why the person that is closest to you has the greatest opportunity to provoke you. You determine not to be provoked. It is, husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter. How do you show bitterness as a man? Most of the time in your actions, silence, quietness in the house, ignoring and snubbing, withdrawing conversation, things that are childish, generally speaking. And by the time he broods and breeds, he snowballs into something else entirely. I want to believe there is no man here in Jesus' name that gets angry and does not eat. If your husband gets angry with you after this sermon and does not eat, report him. I give you license. Report him. We will have a chat with him, a gentlemanly chat. Food is expensive now. They made food for you and not eating. I saw a sketch recently. Wife brought the food to the man. Man looked at the food and turned away like this. Wife tried to. Man turned away like this. Wife now put the food by the table. She went away. Me, the wife went away. When the wife came back, he turned away like this. The wife went to the food. She saw me and started smiling. Okay, it's okay. This kind of anger is good. You are eating the food at least. You say you're angry. When you react that way, things can escalate. So if you married a woman who you gave you food the day before, you didn't eat. The next day, if you cook food now, you're now more angry. But you started the chain process. So you could have stopped it there and then. Have a conversation rather than reactions. Notice, whatever you do in word or word, deed. Do all how? In the name. Whatsoever. So that means your deed, your words, they should align. your deeds and your words show your life. So your actions and your words are proceeding from a Christ-centered reasoning. That's what it means. Hallelujah. How many of us men complained to our wife this past week? You think I've not forgotten you? You complained, me say, you complimented. Jesus is Lord. Put your hand down. Put your hand down. This is the church of the living God, the ground and the pillar of truth. Women, your husband did not complain. He said, let me see your hand. Did not compliment you. You are covering for him. Say, somebody is even saying that love covers much of. Not this kind of sin. Your husband is not complaining. Let me see. Your husband is not complaining to you. Okay, somebody says half. It's not complaining to you at all. Somebody is twice. Oh, no, this one is not. It's not complaining to you this week at all. After this kind of assignment, it's not complaining to you. Okay, so men, you complain to your wife. Okay, men, you complain your wife this week according to the assignment. Let me see. And some of you are up and coming. That means when you were partying, it was even strange. Should I ask her? Whether you remembered to come here. Somebody says, why did we give that assignment? So it can become a culture. Be courteous. Say thank you. Say please. Say sorry. Let it part of your vocabulary. When you're served food, say thank you. Don't say, I'm the head of this house. I put the money down. Let the money turn to food on the table. You put the money on the table. Then let it command it to turn to food. Let's see what happens. No. You appreciate every gesture so as not to take your spouse for what? Granted. Vice versa. The same thing the wife does. The same thing the wife does. And don't discourage your husband from complimenting you. Is it not that you're just noticing? I'm getting very close to him. So it's even today. The year that I did 3 days ago. At least he has shown me finally. The scales are falling. Amen. Encourage him and say, thank you, honey. Thank you. Then I say, this year that everybody has seen. I just seen now. Hallelujah. Now, it's a conscious effort on your part. Don't discourage, encourage, so that it can continue. Okay? Okay, yes. Okay, so the other assignment. So, is how many days of complimenting? 7 days. Somebody said, my husband did like this only twice. Your husband is only 50K. Let us have mercy. Let's make it 5,000. That's the 25K. That's the substantial. Even me myself, I'm owing. So, I'm just confessing my sins before the church of the living God. So if you are owing, you are owing. So you are just owing. Just pay up. That's all. And just encourage yourself next time. Then say, I shall not be lacking. I met up in other areas, but I did do 7 days. I've not complimented today at least. Today, someone says, today is not over. Okay, be counting. How much are you owing? Let me make 5,000. How much are you owing by now? Calculate. Wives, collect. Say amen. Amen. Collect. Bank alerts. Must enter. But God, I think you are hearing. Why am I singling out now? So it's a culture now in words and deeds. In what and what deed. Don't be one of those husbands or wives who finds it easier to forgive fellow saints and not your spouse. How many people are people like that? You have a glowing report among the saints, but whenever you get home, your report is not good. So you have to have a good report at home and where and without. And it's even better you first have it where at home before you have it without. It's important. So the way you relate to saints outside should be a reflection of how you relate with your spouse. Your love walk, the person that we can use to measure it is actually your spouse. So when it tells you husbands love, wives submit as unto. Husbands love, don't be what? Bitter. It's a choice. And that's why I said, if a man gets into moods, if a man keeps malice, even now, before you are getting married to him, he's already showing you a sign. You have a choice whether you are going to go and marry him like that and be forbearing. Or you are going to make up your mind that I will look for someone better. You have a choice. So if you're not married, you are tremendously blessed. You are really blessed. You are greatly blessed. Because you are yet to make what? A choice. But if you are already married and there are shortcomings, and there will be shortcomings, you have to learn to what forbearance is. You give each other room. You give each other room. You give the other partner a long rope. You make room for it. You already know it's going to happen, so you make what? Room for it. Pastor Deboye said a story years ago, and I forgot. He said the major problem he had with his wife was that whenever he says we're going for a meeting, It's 1 hour after that the wife will be ready. As modest as she is with makeup and other things like that, she is 1 hour after. So he was always getting upset about it. Now, our action is our action. Your own response is what? Your response. So he decided that if she's not going to change, how do I forbear? I must find a way to. So if the meeting is starting at 8, you tell her, honey, the meeting is starting at 7 o'clock. He's not lying. He's not saying all the truth. The meeting is starting at 7. So by 7:45, I said, sorry to keep you late. Hey, it's okay, let's just be going. that's the secret of the elders. Just remove some of the time and make allowance for that word excess. 7:45 should be ready. Say, let us be going. He'll be smiling. Thank God. We'll get there on time now. Before, if you say you are going at 8 o'clock, it's 8:50. Now she say, let us now be going. And if one of you, you get upset about it. So you are forbearing means you make room for the other person's excesses. You are going to make room for it. If your spouse talks anyhow, you're trying, you're working. Now, one of the things you can also do is that you don't talk anyhow. And after a while, your own good conduct will rub up on your partner. They learn that this is not how to talk. This is not seasoned with grace. Not that you just go after just sacrificing. Is that the way to talk? See the way you are talking? No. That doesn't change anyone. But if you are consistent with things you say, the person will say, so you emulate good things in your spouse. Your spouse emulates good things where? In you. Glory to God. That's what we do to make things work. It's important. That's why I said, now that some of us are yet to be married, you know what to look out for. And those who are married, this is the work in progress. This is how we choose to relate with our spouses. We act not according to the world's dictates. The world believes in tit for tat. We believe in the love of God. Hallelujah. Shed abroad where in our hearts in Christ Jesus. That means the conduct comes from the Spirit of God. Just like we said the other time, if I'm looking for how to please my wife, the pleasing of my wife is a natural action, but the motivation is from where? From the Spirit of God. If I'm looking for how to please my husband, it's an instruction in God's word. So it's a natural action. It may be preparing his best meal. For my wife, maybe buying her a new dress. For my wife, maybe sending money to her account. It may be helping her to carry things or do some domestic. That I'm looking for how to please her. Maybe taking her out. Now, the action is natural, but the motivation is by the Spirit. Say amen. That means I'm demonstrating love towards her. And we must not get tired of practicing those things. The minute those actions dry up in a marriage, then you have a problem. The words must not dry up. The actions must not dry up. The words must not dry up. The actions must not what? Dry up. And you make a conscious effort. If you think it's going to occur naturally, Paul says, if you quarrel, we'll quarrel, we disagree. But in this world, there are things that come to our mind. And that's why, be careful of the kind of blogs you follow. Be careful of the kind of videos you watch. Be careful of the kind of news you listen to. You are watching a series on divorce. You are already mentally preparing. If he misbehaves, I'll just show him. That's what you're already mentally preparing. The last series that you're doing, look at how Cain behaved that time. And Camilla now said, so if I see any sign from him, you're already being influenced by actors who are acting out the world system. That's what you're doing. Do believers divorce? You don't have time to get into it. There are certain conditions where it's necessary for the sake of peace, because we're to follow peace with all men. For the sake of peace, even the pastor counsels, go your separate ways. Because a particular party has refused to change. And for the other person's life to be preserved. And we don't do marriage in everyone. It ends here. So before you hand the person, we will hand you to go. We counsel. Let the unbeliever go. That is the man who has refused to change. Let him just go so that your life is in peace. Yes. Pastors who don't know how to do things like that, out of sentiment. God is divorce. They usually end up conducting burial ceremony. Is it death that God now likes? Yes. I know somebody happened to you. Pastor, you were doing. Woman kept complaining. He is beating me. He smashed my head. You can see the bruises. I'm in the hospital. When you go and visit. Sister Tai, it's okay. Lord help you. Lord bless you. Instead of you to quickly organize for how they were, at least, if the man is unwilling to change, organize a temporal separation in the first place. Don't just ignore those kind of cases. God wants you alive and well. Say amen. As a saint, you are still God's own, with or without marriage. You have to understand that. Marriage is not do or die when it comes to an errant partner who refuses to change. You think God will be happy that the reason why you appeared too soon on the other side is because of Kole, which Kole? And God will tell you, so why did you not flee? You should have fled. When he brought that knife, what were you doing? I was confessing. You were confessing. He brought that knife, you are confessing. No. You believe God for speed. To escape. What does that mean? You see, listen. If he ends your life, he will still repent and continue. And then you are gone. It doesn't make any sense. When you are confessing, it's from afar, from a distance, like three neighbors away. I confess that. And then I said, God, in Christ Jesus. Not inside when somebody is acting like an animal. No. A spirit may have taken control over his faculties. You don't know. So that's not forbearing. No. Amen. That's kind of forbearing that will take your life. No. That's not forbearing. So there are cases where that is necessary. We're not commanded not to divorce. There are conditions where it's necessary because you are a saint. You have the spirit with or without a man or without a woman. With or without a partner is important. So God is more interested in you fulfilling his plans. If cutting your life short will stop you from fulfilling the divine plan, because you're married somebody, something's already off. Hallelujah. I just need to say that for us for balance. So you won't think I'm just saying that just and you're just no. There are certain situations that it's necessary to step in and say no. I will come. It won't happen in Jesus' name. I've had to do that almost once or twice. Just gonna park your load into my car. We're going. We're not waiting till next day. Yeah. But I know Pastor Woody did that and told the woman to go back home. Even if you can't accommodate that, tell her to go to her mother's place. You insisted she must go home. On that same day, the man threw her from the balcony. And that was the end of it. Yeah. And I'll call. You know, there's some things you just use wisdom to just avoid. It's just wisdom. A pastor should be wise. And wisdom says, you know what? With the proof and sign that I've seen, this is that the next steps we're going to take. And that's just wisdom. Say amen. It's important that we understand some of those things. Also, but thank God we don't have women beaters in our church. We don't have people who practice domestic violence here. We have sound men who display the conduct of Christ. Say amen. We have men who speak well of their wives, who bless with gracious words. We have women who don't knock. Women who complain and applaud and praise their husbands. Those are the kind of women we have in this local assembly. Say amen. That's my confession on you every day. Hallelujah. Those are the kind of women we have here. Women of virtue. Men and women of virtue. Who minister grace with their words. And will never go astray when it comes to their conduct in Christ. Lift your hands this morning and let's give him thanks. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful for your word, for your life. You set an example for us to follow. We will not depart from the path of righteousness. We thank you for homes. If there be any storm in any home, in the name of Jesus, we quieten it. We stem the tide of evil in the name of Jesus. We speak healing. We speak peace over our relationships, over our homes, over our marriages. We ask that your love will prevail. We ask that your wisdom will gain dominance in the hearts of men and women in this local assembly. And that the conduct of Christ will be seen even in their marriages. That Christ and Christ alone will be glorified. That their walk of faith will be stronger and sound. That their walk of love will be seen. It will be a supernatural advertisement for the gospel. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.